Hey friends, Merry Christmas. Now, I know that by the time you're doing church with us today, your presents have likely been unwrapped and things might have slowed down a little bit, like wrapping paper put away, things like that. You might have spent some time with family and friends and that you haven't seen in a while. And sometimes it's even hard to fall asleep, like after all the Christmas festivities, because it's just so exciting. It's been a great day. And on Christmas Day, you might go to bed wishing that it could be Christmas again tomorrow. Well, I've got good news for you. It's still Christmas. That's right. Today is Christmas and tomorrow is Christmas and the next day too. In fact, it's going to be Christmas all the way through next year. So the way that the church calendar works is a little bit different than like our regular calendar because it's Christmas until a day called Epiphany. That's going to be on January 5th of 2022 this year. Now, I know that you might have seen some things that talked about the 12 days of Christmas leading up to Christmas Day, right? I've been getting a lot of emails telling me about the great, you know, 12 days of savings that I'm missing out on and all of that. But the reality is that the real 12 days of Christmas begin on December 25th. They start with Christmas Day. And so today we wrap up our Christmas-themed series and we'll visit with the Grinch Who Stole Christmas just one more time and see what the Who's of Whoville did that was so special that made his heart grow three sizes. And as we get started, I want to remember what Christmas is celebrating. On Christmas, we celebrate Jesus's birthday, right? We've all been to birthday parties before and know that they take various forms and themes and everything else, but some of them have pretty similar elements. There's often food there because food makes everything better. But the celebration, the person who's often being celebrated, we give them thanks, we sing to them. Oftentimes there's some presents, right? Singing to Jesus is easy on his birthday. Celebrating what Jesus has done for us, though, is something that we can do weekly. But what kind of presents do you get Jesus? It's kind of a strange question, right? Because the first Christmas gift that was given was baby Jesus. God is the gift. And the gift is an invitation to participate, to take part in God's story. And through Christ, God dwells within each and every one of us. So then what does God want for Christmas? Or like I said before, what do you get Jesus for his birthday? It's kind of a hard question. And if Christmas is the story of Jesus and the love story of God freeing us from sin and inviting us to participate, then maybe a good gift is to participate, to use the gift that's been given to us as a gift back to God, right? But the participation in God's story isn't like a pop quiz to make sure that we've been behaving right before Christmas so that we get on the nice list, or to make sure that we're playing well with others a few weeks after Santa comes and has left us some great gifts. It's not that kind of quiz, right? There's actually this German-based legend of the Bellschnickel. And my understanding of it comes from an episode from an old show called The Office. But according to German legend, the Bellschnickel was a mysterious creature who would check in on kids a couple of weeks before Christmas to see if they were behaving. He would rap on the window and throw candy on their floor, and if they jumped too soon to receive the candy, he would rap you with his walking stick. Kind of like that vision of like old Catholic nuns, right? And other variations told of the Bellschnickel were that he would visit weeks after Christmas to make sure that you were still minding your manners after receiving your presents. And if you were misbehaving, the Bellschnickel would come in the middle of the night and take all your toys away. There was nothing that you could do to get them back. It's kind of a scary, frightening tale, right? When you're a child or even not such a child. But the message was clear that you can't fool Santa. But I don't believe that God wants us to give a good gift with all kinds of strings attached, right? The gift of Jesus doesn't have strings attached. God wants us to share the love and the grace, but not because of punishment that looms over us or because the blessing that we've given and we kind of hold it back. No, but because we get to bless one another. And so we are, the church body is, the body of Christ, the place where God's story and love continues, the place where God's story of love is offered to the entire world. Remember, God is love. So when we learn to care, when we learn to share our gifts with the world, when we learn to seek out and welcome the lost sheep searching for the truth, when we make room for those that society has forgotten or found unlovable, that's when we experience the very heart of God. When we do these things, we create a space for God to dwell and to make our hearts a couple sizes bigger. And so when we think about all the good gifts that we're able to give back to God this season of Christmas, we have to look no further than our scripture to talk about how we might do that. Because here we're given a vision of how to use the gifts that we find in the Christ child. Remember, in Jesus, we see what forgiveness and reconciliation look like in the flesh. It's a great living example. Jesus is a great living example. And then we're invited to embody this kind of Christ-like love to other people, to everyone around. And so we pick up those words from Colossians, where we hear an invitation to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other, and forgive one another of any grievance that you have against someone else. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now look, I've read this passage and talked about it in messages and everything else a number of times. But when we look at it in this Christmas season, something has stuck out to me in a special way this year. It's kind of jumped out. That part that says, bear with one another and forgive as God has forgiven you, that struck me a little bit differently this year. Remember, God doesn't leave us orphaned or abandoned. That's a powerful thing, because how many times could God just kind of have gone, I'm done with you guys. No. God actively not only helps us out, but God actively comes down and meets us where we are in the baby Jesus, in the mess, in the mire, and everything else. And so as we conclude today, I want to challenge you to make a 12 Days of Christmas service calendar. When we serve together, we bear with one another. We help one another out, and we get to know one another in a special way. That's what Jesus was all about, right? And considering that it's Christmas until January 5th, making a calendar with a goal about how you might serve one another each day is a powerful thing, a 12 Days of Service calendar. And so maybe you'll choose to do a chore around the house for someone else tomorrow, or you'll send a note or a kind word or give a text message or a call to a friend that you haven't talked to in a while. I'm sure that you can come up with a ton of great ideas. In fact, if you would like to share some of those ways that you have seen or been served by others that have made an impact, why don't you just share them in the chat now? That would be awesome. They might be things like donating clothes to a local mission or putting together some health kits to help to kind of keep in your car for our unhoused friends when you see them out and about and you give them, you know, things that all of us just take for granted. Any number of things can be a way that we give back a good gift to baby Jesus in celebration of his birthday while we serve and bear with one another. This is another way to remember that we can be the hope and connection that others need when they're feeling anxious and alone. It's transformative, and we become the hands and feet of Jesus when we're willing to take 12 days and each and every one of those days serve in some special way to remind those that we are serving that they are special and that they are loved, and that our hearts might encounter that kind of love that God has for us and grow three sizes. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, you have given us this gift, not just of forgiveness and love, but also an invitation to continue that trend, to love others and to share with others the way in which you call us to clothe ourselves with humility and gentleness and bear with one another, not giving up on others as you have not given up on us. but meet them in the valleys, in the low times, when they're feeling anxious and alone, and reminding them that there is hope and connection, and that we can be that point of light for them, helping to find your hope and your grace in this season. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.